third book of his diary, of her diary. Last week, it's on the 1st of March, 1937. The Lord gave me to know how displeased he is with a talkative soul. I find no rest in such a soul. The constant din tires me, and in the midst of it, the soul cannot discern my voice. If talkative, there is no silence. If you hear, want to hear the voice of God, you have to be silent. Today I asked the Lord Jesus to let me meet with a certain person, and this would be a sign for me that he is calling her to this convent. And I did meet her and understood that this soul has a vocation. And I asked the Lord to design to form her himself. I've talked to her often about a vocation. The Lord will do the rest. March 5th, 1937. Today I experienced the passion of the Lord Jesus in my own body for a long while. The pain is very great, but all this is for the sake of immortal soul. She's a victim soul, so she takes all this pain to offer for sinners. Today the Lord visited me, pressed me to his heart and said, "Rest, my little child, I am always with you." Same words, Jesus will talk to us, ask you to go to him, press you to his heart, and be ensured he is always with us. March 8, 1937. Today, as I was praying for the intention of Father Andres, I suddenly understood how immediately this soul communed with God and how pleasing he was to the Lord. It gave me immense joy because I desire intensely that all souls be united with God as close as possible. During prayer today, my soul was overcome with such a strong desire to begin the work that I would not restrain my enthusiasm. Oh, how ardently I desire that the souls in this congregation present themselves before the throne of God and continuously implore his incomprehensible mercy on behalf of the whole world, praising and glorifying his unfathomable mercy of God. Mysterious force is driving me to action. The last year of her life, that means to say she was very weak, but just with the help of God. March 12, 1937, I saw the weariness of a certain priest, probably Father Sobukko, for whom the Lord has traced out a hard and difficult road, but the fruits of his work are alive. May God give us many such souls capable of loving him in the midst of the greatest torments. I felt today how greatly a sudden dying soul desired prayers. I prayed until I left. I felt she had died. Oh, dying souls are in such great need of prayer. Oh, Jesus, inspire souls to pray often for the dying. March 15, 1937. Today I entered into the bitterness of the passion of the Lord Jesus. I suffered in the purely spiritual way. I learned how horrible sin was. God gave me to know the whole hideousness of sin. I learned in the depths of my soul how horrible sin was, even the smallest, and how much it tormented the soul of Jesus. I would rather suffer 1,000 hells than commit even a smallest venial sin. The Lord said to me, I want to give myself to souls and to fill them with my love, but few they are who want to accept all the graces my soul, all the graces my love has intended for them. My grace is not lost. If the soul for whom it was intended does not accept it, another soul takes it. If you didn't take this grace, it goes to another one. When it's given, it's given. Grace is grace. It's a gift. If you don't take it, the same as vocation. If God invites you to live a certain vocation, if you refuse it, it goes to another. I frequently feel that certain persons are praying for me. I experience this suddenly in my soul, but I do not always know which person is interceding for me. I also know when some person has trouble because of something that has to do with me. Of these two, I am inwardly aware, even though the distance is very great. March 18, 1937. I have come to know that I have received a certain grace that brings me into great intimacy and communion with the Lord. He gives me to know this by means of an interior light. He allows me to know His greatness and holiness and how graciously He lowers Himself to me. He gives me an exclusive knowledge of His love for me, of how is more of absolutely all things, and also of how He gives Himself to a soul while suspending all the laws of nature. He acts as He wills. So miracles happen. Nature listens to God. Pray and trust. If it doesn't happen, maybe it's not God's will, but sometimes you think, oh, difficult, difficult. So you is difficult, for the Lord is not. But we hesitate to pray. Oh, very difficult. I understand the spiritual exposure of a soul with God, which has no exterior manifestation. It is purely interior act between the soul and God. The grace has drawn me into the very burning center of God's love. I've come to understand His Trinitarian quality and absolute oneness of His being. This grace is different from all other graces. It is so extremely spiritual that my inaccurate description knows not how to express even a shade of it. I have such a strong desire to hide myself that I would like to live as though I did not exist. I feel a strange inner urge to hide myself as deeply as possible, so as to be known only to the heart of Jesus. I want to be a quiet little dwelling place for Jesus to rest in. I shall admit nothing that may awake my beloved. But concealment gives me a chance of commune constantly and exclusively with my bridegroom. I commune with creatures insofar as it is pleasing to Him. My heart has come to love the Lord with the full force of love, and I know no other love, because it is from the beginning that my soul has sunk deeply in the Lord as in His only treasure, only God, no mark, no love, no other human persons. Take the place of God. It doesn't mean we don't love God. We might love people, but not to the extent, not as much as to the Lord. First of all, love the Lord with your whole heart. With His love, love your neighbor. Although outwardly I meet with many sufferings and various adversities, this does not, however, lessen my interior life for a moment, nor disturb my interior silence. I do not fear at all being abandoned by creatures because even if all abandon me, I will not be unknown, for the Lord is with me. So many times people change their mind, change their heart. For us, some today, we go to next morning, might be funny happening. In the Lord only we have this security. And even if the Lord were to hide, love will know how to find him. For love knows no gates or guards. Even the keen-eyed cherub, the archangel, himself, with his flaming sword, will not stop love. It will work its way through wilderness and scorching heat, through storm, thunder, and darkness, and will reach the source from which it came, and there it will endure forever. All things will come to an end, but love never. Today, I received some oranges. When the sister had left, I thought to myself, should I eat an orange instead of doing penance and modifying myself during Holy Names? Orange there. Temptation. What to do? After all, I'm feeling a bit better. Then I heard a voice in my soul. My daughter, you please me more by eating the orange out of obedience and love of me than by fasting and modifying yourself of your own will. Obedience. Eh? A soul that loves me very much must ought to love by my will. I know your heart, and I know that it will not be satisfied by anything but my love alone. Jesus understands whatever you do for his love. Maybe you think not to eat, but Jesus said, eat it. Out of obedience. I would not know how to live without the Lord. Jesus often visits me in this seclusion, teaches me, reassures me, rebukes me, and admonishes me. He himself forms my heart according to his divine wishes and likings, but always with such a goodness and mercy. Our heart are filled as one. March 19, 1937. Today I united myself in spirit with the adoration that is taking place in our house. Quote, 40-hour adoration in Krakow. But my soul was full of torments, and some strange kind of apprehension was piercing my heart. Because of this, I redoubled my prayer. Suddenly I saw the gaze of God reaching into the depths of my heart. As I sat down on a very tasty breakfast, I said to the Lord, thank you for these gifts, but my heart is dying of longing for you, and nothing earthly is tasty to me. I desire the food of your love. Even taking his breakfast, she still talked to Jesus. I prefer you more than this food. Today I was drawn by some mysterious force to act. I might resist this attraction, or else I would follow it at once. March 21st, 1937, Palm Sunday. During Mass, my soul was steeped in the bitterness and suffering of Jesus. Jesus gave me to understand how much he had suffered in the triumphal procession. Hosanna was reverberating in Jesus' heart as an echo of crucify. Jesus allowed me to feel this in a special way, because in Palm Sunday we sing Hosanna, Hosanna. But for Jesus, these words from the people, Hosanna is glorifying, crucifying. He felt that. The doctor did not allow me to go to the chapel to attend the Passion service, although I had the great desire of it. However, I prayed in my own room. Suddenly, I heard the bell in the next room, and I went in and rendered the service to a seriously sick person. When I returned to my room, I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus, who said, "My daughter, you gave me great pleasure by rendering me that service than if you had prayed for a long time." I answered, "But it was not to you, Jesus, but to that patient that rendered this service." And the Lord answered me, "Yes, my daughter, but whatever you do for your labor, you do for me." Today's gospel. Whatsoever you do to the least, you do to me. Today's gospel. Oh, my Jesus, give me wisdom, give me a mind, great and enlightened by your light, and this only, that I may know you better. For the better I get to know you, the more ardently will I love you, the sole object of my love. In you my soul drowns, in you my heart dissolves. I know not how to love partially, but only with the full strength of my soul and the total ardor of my heart. You yourself, O Lord, have enkindled this love to mine for you. In you, my heart has drowned forever. At least have the intention to be close to Jesus. Although humanly speaking, we cannot have that kind of feeling so much. Many times, your intention, if you love a person more, then you will have this heart. March 22nd, 1937, and I was talking today to a certain person, I recognized that she was suffering greatly in spirit, although exteriorly she pretended that she was very happy and was not suffering at all. I felt inspired to tell her that what was troubling her was a temptation. When I disclosed to her what was torturing her, she burst into tears and told me that she had come to see me precisely to speak to me because she felt that it would bring her relief. Many times externally we don't see a person sad or not sad. Many people always joyful, smile. Maybe heart is peacing. Maybe that person is yearning for a person who can listen. That person come to have seen in the very first instance, she pretends very nothing happened. That with love, listening. That's what we have to learn from Sister Faustina. This quietness. Of course, not judging. The suffering was of such a kind that the soul was being attracted by God's grace on the one hand and by the world on the other. You know, that's the temptation. First hand, we say we follow God. But then the world loves, human love. She was going through a terrible struggle that brought her to the point of weeping the little child. But she went away soothed and set at peace. During Holy Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus nailed upon the cross amidst great torments. A soft moan issued from his heart. And after some time, he said, I thirst for the salvation of souls. Help me, my daughter, to save souls. Join my sufferings to my passion and offer them to the Heavenly Father for sinners. It's beautiful. Many times when we suffer, offer it to Jesus for sinners. Again, he said, I thirst for the salvation of souls. help me, my daughter, to save souls. Join your sufferings to my passion, join him, and offer them to the Heavenly Father for sinners. When I see that the burden is beyond my strength, I do not consider or analyze it or probe into it, but run like a child to the heart of Jesus and say only one word to him: you can do all things. And then I kept silence, because I know that Jesus himself will intervene in the matter. And as for me, instead of tormenting myself, I use that time to love him, not to disturb yourself. Once you entrust into his hand, believing that he is listening, he will do his part, and just be quiet. Monday of Holy Week, I asked the Lord to let me take part in this sorrowful passion that I might experience in soul and body, to the extent that this is possible for a creature, his bitter passion. I asked to experience all the bitterness, and so far as this was possible, she wanted to experience the passion of Christ. See how much a human body can sustain this pain. And the Lord answered that he would give me this grace, and that on Thursday after Holy Communion, he would grant this in a special way, and her share the pain, the stigma. This evening, a certain man was dying. He was suffering terribly. For his intention, I began to say the chaplet what the Lord had taught me. I said it all, but the agony continued. I wanted to start the litany of the saints, but suddenly I heard the words, "Say the chaplet." Let me just repeat. She said, "I finished the chaplet, keep going, eh?" And then say the litany of the saints. Jesus stopped. "Say the chaplet." You see how important? Do you used to say the chaplet of divine mercy yourself? Sometime? Or every day?
Every day.
Good. Just once?
Twice.
Only twice?
Three.
Every day. Okay. No, it's okay. Important is when time is necessary. For a dying, for a sick, or for the dead. I understood that the souls needed the special help of prayers and great mercy. And so I locked myself in my room and fell prostrate before God and begged for mercy upon that soul. Then I felt the great majesty of God and his great justice. I trembled with fear, but did not stop begging the Lord's mercy for that soul. Then I took the cross off my breast, the crucifix I had received when making my vows, and I put it on the chest of the dying man and said to the Lord, "Jesus, look on this soul with the same love with which you looked on my Holocaust on the day of my perpetual vows. And by the power of the promise which you made to me in respect to the dying and those who would invoke your mercy on them, grant this man the grace of a happy death." His suffering then ceased, and he died peacefully. Oh, how much he would pray for the dying. Let us take advantage of mercy while there is still time for mercy. I realize more and more how much every soul needs God's mercy throughout life, and particularly at the hour of death. This chaplet mitigates God's anger, as he himself told me. So it's very important. Eh? Okay, this is for time being.